Okay, let's get cracking. Today we are finishing off Maseches Maaser Sheni with Perek Hey Mishnah Tasvav, and then we're going to begin the third to final Masechta in Seder Zraim. As you begin Maseches Chala with Maseches Chala, Perek Aleph, Mishnah Aleph. The final Mishnah in Maseches Maaser Sheni, which also happens to appear in the ninth parak of Maseches Sota, is going to give us various decrees that Yochanan the Kohen Gadol made. And the first of these decrees has to do with Vidui, a Maaser that we've been discussing until now. Says the Mishnah, Yochanan Kohen Gadol he'evir hodayos ha-maaser. Yochanan the Kohen Gadol, he ended the recitation of Vidui Maaser. This idea that you're declaring that all of the trumos and maasers and so on were given and designated, distributed and so on, was ended by Yochanan the Kohen Gadol. Now, first of all, Yochanan the Kohen Gadol was the Kohen Gadol after Shimon HaTzadik, who was the first Kohen Gadol of Bayis Sheni, as the Mishnah tells us in Maseches Avos. Now, the reason why, as the Bartanura points out, the reason why he decided to end this whole idea of Vidui Maaser was because Ezra HaSofer, he ended up punishing the Levium for not joining him when he went up to Eretz Yisrael from Galus Bavel. After Galus Bavel, they were all exiled in Bavel, and then Ezra HaSofer was leading the way back to Eretz Yisrael, and the Levium wanted to stay where they were. They were content, they were happy, they didn't want to join him back to Eretz Yisrael, and therefore Ezra HaSofer decreed that Maaser Rishon should be given not to the Levium, but now they should be given to the Kohanim. Therefore, it was no longer appropriate to say the Maaser confession, this is a Vidui Maaser, because it included the words that we learned previously, that I've given the Maaser Rishon, to the Levi. So that's the rationale behind Yochanan the Kohen Gadol getting rid of Vidui Maaser, because there's no more Maaser Rishon to the Levium, and therefore the whole Vidui Maaser process should be gotten rid of according to Yochanan the Kohen Gadol. Continuing in the Mishnah, Afu Bitel es ha-Me'orim. Yochanan the Kohen Gadol also got rid of the Me'orim, the Wakers. What were the Wakers? The Wakers, the Levium in the Beis HaMikdash, would get up and then they would sing the Beis HaMikdash and they would recite the verse again, as the Bartanura points out, the Pasuk of Ora Lama Tishen Hashem, which is basically saying, wake up, why are you sleeping, Hashem? We're yelling at Hashem, please wake up and help us and be there for us, don't fall asleep. And Yochanan the Kohen Gadol was of the opinion, how could Hashem be sleeping? Hashem never sleeps. And therefore, Yochanan the Kohen Gadol got rid of this practice of the Levium saying this line in the Beis HaMikdash. What else did Yochanan the Kohen Gadol get rid of? V'es Hanokfim. He also got rid of those other people who would basically make a cut in the Beis HaMikdash. They'd make a cut on the karbanos, on the head of the karban, right before it was shechted. Now, the reason for that was because they were trying to cause the blood to run into the eyes of the animal. This would temporarily blind the calf, whatever the animal is, and make it easier to restrain it in order to shecht it, in order to slaughter it. However, Yochanan the Kohen Gadol abolished this practice. He got rid of it because the wound looked like a mum, that animals in order to be ordered as a karban can't have a blemish, can't have a mum, and people were starting to mistakenly think that a blemished animal, that an animal with a mum, was allowed to be offered on the mizbech, on the altar, and that was the problem. So he got rid of the practice of making this mark on the animal again to make sure that no one thinks, chas v'shalom, that you could bring an animal with a mum as a karban. Continuing in the Mishnah, V'ad yamav hayapatish maka b'Yerushalayim, until the days of Yochanan the Kohen Gadol, the hammer would bang in Yerushalayim during Chol HaMoed, meaning to say, the blacksmiths would be allowed to work on Chol HaMoed. However, that was only until Yochanan the Kohen Gadol. Once he became the Kohen Gadol, they were no longer allowed to do so. He stopped them from working during Chol HaMoed. The final line of the Mishnah, final line of the Masechta, final decree of Yochanan ben Zakkai, Uveyamav ein Adam Tzarech Lishol al Hadimayin. In his days, as long as Rabbi Yochanan the Kohen Gadol was alive, it was not necessary for anyone to ask whether a maestros needed to be separated from demai. And demai are a produce or crops that were received from an amaretz. And Rabbi Yochanan the Kohen Gadol decreed, he made a gezeira, that maestros must always be separated from demai as well. And certainly before that, they weren't as makbid, they weren't as careful about that, but that was the decree, the final decree of Yochanan, the Kohen Gadol. Now we're going to begin Maseches Challah, as we begin discussing this special bread that must, when you're making dough, you must separate a portion of the dough. We're going to learn all the halachos in Maseches Challah and give that portion to the chug, to the Kohen. That portion that is separated and given to the Kohen is called Challah. Now in the Mishnah, in the beginning of Maseches Challah, Perek Aleph Mishnah Aleph, is now going to teach us which grains are subject to this obligation, which grains require you to separate this Challah and give it to the Kohen. Says the Mishnah, Chamisha Dvarim Chayavim B'Challah, the following five types of grain are subject to the laws of Challah. Hachitim, Hasorim, Hakusmim, Vashibol, Shual, Vishifon. You have wheat, you have barley, you have spelt, you have oats, and you have rye. Any other types of grains are not subject to the laws of Challah. These are the Chameshis Medog, and these are the five types of grain, and the laws of Challah only apply to them. Continuing in the Mishnah, Hare Elu Chayavin Bechala, these types of grain are obligated in Challah, like we just said, Umitstarfim Zemze, and they join with one another in order to reach the amount of the minimum amount needed for the obligation of Challah to set in. As we're going to learn in the fourth Mishnah of Maseches, of the first parak of Maseches Challah, we're going to learn that there's a minimum amount that requires Challah. Only if you have 1 1/4 kav of flour is the obligation of Challah going to take effect. And the Mishnah is teaching us that if there's a little bit of spelt and barley together, and that creates that 1 1/4 kav, that works. If it's wheat and rye and so on, the different amounts, even if there's not a 1 1/4 kav of just wheat or just barley or just spelt, the different types of flour and grains can combine to reach that minimum amount. Now the Mishnah is going to continue discussing a number of other halachos that apply only to these five different types of grain. Here the Mishnah is specifically going to be discussing the idea of chadash versus yashan types of crops of grain. When it comes to chadash, the halacha is that you may not eat the new grain until the Karban Omer is brought on the second day of Pesach. It is even prohibited, it is even usur, to harvest this new crop of grain before the barley for the Omer offering is even harvested. So we're going to discuss right now what exactly and how exactly we calculate this obligation. Says the Mishnah, Ve'asurin b'chadosh milifnei ha-pesach. All of these grains are subject to the obligation, to the prohibition rather, of eating chadosh before Pesach, meaning the new crop of any of the five species that we just mentioned may not be eaten before Pesach or before the Karban Omer is brought, umiliktor milifnei ha-omer. And the new crop of any of these five species of grain may not be harvested before the grain for the Omer offering is harvested as well. Now the question is going to be, what is considered the chadash crop? What is considered the new crop when it comes to the prohibition, this iser of harvesting it before the Omer? So says the Mishnah, v'im hishrishu kodam la'omer, if these five types of grain, they took root before the Omer was harvested, ha'omer matirin, then the Karban Omer on the second day of Pesach permits them for harvesting and for eating them as well, v'im lav, but if not, if they did not take root until after the harvesting of the Omer, then Asurin Achiyavo HaOmer Haba, then they are also, they are completely and totally prohibited until next year's Karban Omer arrives, meaning to say that they may not be harvested or eaten until the next year's Omer is harvested the following year. A quick review. Perek Hey Mishnah Tesvav, the final Perek, the final Mishnah of Maseches Ma'aser Sheni, taught us various decrees of Yochanan the Kohen Gadol. He got rid of this whole idea of Vidoy Meiser because of Ezra HaSofer, who didn't allow the Levium anymore to take Meiser Rishon, and therefore, because the Vidoy HaMeiser includes the Levium, therefore he got rid of Vidoy Meiser. He also got rid of the Levium who were in the Beis HaMikdash, who were saying that God, you have to wake up, because after all, Hashem's never sleeping. And then the Mishnah said that until Rabbi Yochanan the Kohen Gadol, they would allow blacksmiths to work on Chol HaMoed. He got rid of that. And also, before Yochanan the Kohen Gadol, they would not be so strict about people separating Meiser on Demai from an Am HaAretz, or the produce of an Am HaAretz, but then he got rid of that as well. And Yochanan the Kohen Gadol said, no, you have to separate Meiser from Demai as well. And then the Mishnah told us in the beginning of Meseches Chal in Perek Aleph Mishnah Aleph that the obligation of separating Chal only applies to the Chamishis Minei Dagon, the five different types of grain that we discuss. The Mishnah said that those types of grain can join together in order to require the Chala obligation to set. And even if the 1 1/4 Kav that requires Chala doesn't, there's not one grain with that full amount, but if you can add different grains together, then it equals that amount, then the obligation of challah begins. And then we began to discuss this notion of a chadash and yashan, and we said that all of these five grains are subject to the prohibition of eating chadash before Pesach. We said that the new crop of any of the five species may not be harvested before the grain for the Omer offering is harvested as well. And then we just concluded by saying that if any of these chameshis minei dagon took root before the Omer was harvested, then the Omer permits them for harvesting. However, if they did not take root until after the harvesting of the Omer, they are forbidden until next year's Omer arrives. Have a great day.